Is Jesus Christ the only way to heaven? Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell reveals the answer of how you can know you have eternal life.
And there might be someone that is with us this morning, and you're looking at your life and you're feeling like it's a puzzle on a table and you don't know how it's going to get back together. I just want to remind you today that God will come back even in the times of failure, even when our life seems to be a shambles, and He can put it back together and give it meaning again.
The challenges of life can leave you looking for answers that only Christ can provide. In our series, Only Jesus, we'll explore what the Bible says about who Jesus is and why you must make Him the Savior and Lord of your life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. The truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is more than a simple historic fact to know. It is the hope of every believer. Through Dr. Chappell's clear and engaging message, you will understand what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, why it matters to you, and how you can apply these truths to your life today. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Only Jesus.
We're going to be studying some of the singular claims that can be made by Jesus Christ alone. And as we look through the scripture, there are so many wonderful claims that were not only made, but were proven by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John 10 and verse 30, I and the Father are one. He said in John 8 and verse 58, before Abraham was, I am. John 14 and verse 9, Jesus saith, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And I suppose of all of the claims of Jesus Christ, that one which is most important for us to understand is that He and the Father are one, that in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For if Jesus Christ was not the Son of God, if He was not deity wrapped in humanity, then what we celebrate with respect to the death, burial, and resurrection would have far less meaning. But because Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, then the price that He paid on the cross is efficacious for the sins of the entire world. That blood that He shed paid the price for the sin of all who would turn to Him in faith. Only Jesus can provide such a wonderful gift. Well, let's think about it this morning, shall we? I want you to think about the things that only Jesus can do for us even today. I believe that only Jesus can conquer the fear that comes into our heart. There's a fear that grips men's hearts from time to time, especially as we think of recent days in our nation. I think of the fear that has come into the hearts of men and women as the news stories unfold day by day, as even death counts have increased day by day. There's not one of us today that hasn't had a moment of concern, apprehension, or even fear. And no doubt as these women came to the tomb on that first resurrection morning, their hearts were already broken. We could say they were emotionally wrung out already having seen the Lord Jesus die on the hill of the skull. But now they come with hearts filled with fear. And I want you to notice they feared the circumstance. In fact, the Bible tells us in this passage in verse number 4 that they were much perplexed thereabout. The word perplexed means that they were entirely at a loss. They could not understand why the tomb would be empty and the stone rolled away. And there are times when we are at a loss. We cannot really understand what God is doing. We cannot understand the circumstances that we face. This was a time of painfulness for them. The Bible tells us that as Mary is coming, no doubt with a heart to prepare the body, a heart to remember the Lord Jesus, that this pressure upon her is real. It is so very, very painful. We see these early disciples arriving to the tomb this first resurrection morning with the traditional burial spices and yet with hearts of grief. Not only was it a painful time for them, but this fear was a compounding fear. There was something that kept building and building. I think of these recent weeks as we have heard the news stories day after day, and it seems to get heavier and heavier. I've spoken with our nurses and doctors and medical workers from our own church, and as I've spoken to them, some of them young parents, and talking to them about going into the hospital and into the floor, working with those with COVID-19, I can sense the palpable fear in their voice as they talk about going back home to their children. It seems sometimes that fear has a way of compounding, and there's the initial pain, and then there's the building of such pain and concern and fear in our lives. And it seems that oftentimes that's the way it is, that fear compounds. I remember hearing the story about little Nancy, and she was in her garden, and as she was there in the garden digging a hole, her neighbor peered over the fence and cried out to her and said, "Nancy, what are you doing there?" And Nancy said, "Well, my goldfish died, and so I'm burying him." And she was putting the dirt on top of the hole there, and the neighbor was concerned. She said, "Well, that's an awfully big hole for a goldfish." And Nancy said, "That's because it's inside your stupid cat." And, you know, a lot of times it seems like one problem begets another problem. There's the compounding of problems. And so it is in life that there will be one initial difficulty that will bring on a financial difficulty, that will bring on an emotional difficulty, and the fear and anxiety becomes palpable. There's no doubt in our minds today that there's an anxiety building in the hearts of many Americans. And that was the case on that first resurrection morning. Oh, we know how things turned out. But just saying at the very beginning, the fear was so real. The fear of this matter of the circumstances that Mary faced. But you know, the fear really was from forgetfulness. The Bible tells us here in verse number 6, "Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee." Here we see that they had forgotten exactly why this had taken place, and they had forgotten what Jesus had said. And I think a lot of us forget things along the way, and maybe we're even relearning some things right now during this time of social distancing. I heard about a family the other day. They were describing the fifth day of their quarantine, and the husband said, "We went to this really neat restaurant today called The Kitchen. You have to gather up all the ingredients and make your own meal. I have no clue how this place has stayed in business all this time." And many of us as families are learning how to make meals and sit down and spend time together, and we may have forgotten some of those important things. And Mary had forgotten some of the important lessons of Jesus. And I don't want to blame her or be too hard on these early disciples, but sometimes we're the same way. We can hear something preached at church. We can read something in the Bible. But if we're not careful, somewhere along the line of our busy schedule, we forget what we already have been taught. And Jesus, for 3.5 years, had expounded unto them regarding his death, burial, and resurrection. He said, "Tear this temple down, and in 3 days I'll raise it back up again." But when the pressure came, they forgot the words of Jesus. Can I encourage you during the season we're experiencing in our country, don't let the pressure cause you to forget what Jesus Christ wants you to remember, that he loves you and that he came for you and that his spirit indwells in the life of his believers. And we see the fear always compounds whenever it is mixed with forgetfulness. And that's why the angel said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" You see, the angel was reminding them that Jesus had made a promise and they should remember the promise that he had given. Now, I know that if you're like me, you've had people break promises, and sometimes people have trouble trusting in God, the Heavenly Father, because maybe their earthly father broke a promise or someone hurt their feelings. I love the story of the two brothers that were getting ready to boil some eggs, and it was around Easter time, and the older brother said, "I'll tell you what," he said, "let's take these eggs that we haven't boiled," and he said, if you'll give me the opportunity," he said, "I'll give you $1 if you let me break these 3 eggs on your head." Well, the younger brother thought about it. He thought, well, that's a pretty good deal. Three eggs over my head and I get a dollar. And so he said, you promise? And his older brother said, yes, I promise. And so gleefully, the older brother stepped behind the younger brother. He broke an egg on his head and it came down. He broke another egg on his head and it came down. And the third, and the little boy said, where's the third egg? When's the third egg coming? The younger brother said, and the older brother said, it's not coming. He said, that would cost me a dollar. Now, maybe you had an older brother like that, that tricked you, and his word wasn't a word that you could put confidence in. We've all had that. But when Jesus Christ gives you a promise in his word, take it to the bank, my friend. Remember his words. You see, with the word of God, fears evaporate. Without the word of God, fear compounds in our hearts. And so we understand that only Jesus, only his word can cause fear to be dispelled and faith to be built. They had forgotten his words. But finally, the Bible tells us in verse 8, and they remembered his words. Oh, remember his words today. Jesus said in Matthew 28, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Remember that Jesus said in John 14 and verse 16, I will give you another comforter that he may abide with you. Remember in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he said the Holy Ghost would come upon us and would help us to be witnesses for him. Oh, do you understand that we gather here today to remember the promise of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? People have not gathered for the last 2,000 years to say, the stock market has risen. The stock market has risen indeed. They have not gathered to say, the dollar has risen. It has risen indeed. They have not gathered to say, employment has risen. It is risen indeed. They have not gathered to say, General Motors has risen. It is risen indeed. They have not gathered to speak about the employment rate has risen. It is risen indeed. There is only one reason that we gather together today and every Sunday, and it is to say Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And when the stock market is down, and when employment is down, and when everything else is down, and yet we know that Jesus Christ is risen indeed, then the fears can evaporate and faith can build in our heart. Well, I'm thankful to tell you today that Jesus conquers fear. But I want you to notice, secondly, Jesus conquers failure. Jesus Christ can lift us up from our failure and our sin, and he can give us the victory that we need. You know, when you read the resurrection story, you can't read it without being mindful of Peter. And the Bible tells us regarding Peter, and regarding these women, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And Peter arose and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which had come to pass. Now these women, they saw the empty tomb. They remember the words of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James. And they ran to the disciples and they told them about the empty tomb. And they told Peter about the empty tomb. Now Peter represents for us this morning many a wandering Christian, many a wandering agnostic, many people who question perhaps about Jesus. And while Peter was not an agnostic, he certainly was a believer that had wandered away. He had denied the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.